in the limelight.
The Biden administration's wait-and-see stance on Israeli regime's escalated attacks against several prominent Palestinian organizations puts their staff at risk of arbitrary detention and torture, those groups and observers warn. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Maureen Claire Murphy, writer. This article is published under the heading, U.S. gives green light to Israeli regime's attacks on human rights groups. Stay tuned for more. The Biden administration's wait-and-see stance on the Zionist regime's escalated attacks against several prominent Palestinian organizations puts their staff at risk of arbitrary detention and torture, those groups and observers warn. The Zionist regime raided seven organizations in Ramallah area of occupied West Bank last week, shortly after an Israeli regime military commander rejected an appeal lodged by some of the organizations challenging an order designating them as terrorist groups late last year. Tel Aviv claims that the organizations are front groups for the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, a leftist political party with an armed resistance wing that is outlawed by the fake regime of Israel, the United States regime, and the EU. All seven organizations, including Al-Damir Al-Haq, the Bisson Center for Research and Development, Defense for Children International Palestine, the Union of Palestinian Women's Committees, the Union of Agricultural Work Committees, and the Union of Health Work Committees, were sealed shut and issued orders declaring their groups unlawful. The Zionist regime troops confiscated equipment and, in the case of some of the groups, files from their raided and sealed offices. Defense for Children International Palestine and the Union of Palestinian Women's Committees say the Israeli regime troops seized files containing sensitive information regarding child clients and women receiving psychological support. The targeted groups have been working in Palestine for decades and receive international funding to support their work. That work includes providing legal representation to Palestinians held without charge or trial by the Zionist regime, international human rights advocacy, providing jobs and social services to Palestinian women and farmers, providing health care to rural communities, promoting women's and workers' rights, and representing children who are tried in the Zionist regime military courts. Put more simply, the organizations are either dedicated to challenging Israeli regime impunity or strengthening Palestinian steadfastness and resiliency under the extreme pressures of perpetual military dictatorship. Because they are a point of friction for the occupation, they have been subjected to harassment and smear campaigns by the Zionist regime and its proxies for years, including raids and the arrest and detention of their staff, in a bid to hamper their work and dry up their international funding. Khaled Qusmar, the director of Defense for Children International Palestine, said during a webinar hosted by Democracy for the Arab World Now, a U.S.-based organization founded by the murdered writer Jamal Khashoggi recently, "In the past, they used to work in order to silence us, and now they're working in order to eliminate us, eliminate our work, and even the organization." Qusmar was summoned by the Shin Bet, the Zionist regime's secret police, for an interview Recently, following the raids, the officer made clear that he knew detailed information about Uzmar's family members in order to intimidate him. They haven't faced ever any real accountability, Shaban Jabarin, the director of Al-Haq, said of the Zionist regime during the same webinar. They failed in the last 15 years to silence us, to push us back, to get us down and dry our resources, he said, leaving the Zionist regime with the final tactic to declare them as terrorist organization. They are not ready to accept this. They challenge them to prove what they say. Like Uzmar, someone claiming to be an agent with the Shin Bet, the Zionist regime's secret police called Jabarin recently and summoned him to a nearby military base. Jabarin, who said that phone call was of a threatening nature, refused to comply. He added, "If they have a problem with Shaban Jabarin, the only thing I ask for is due process and a fair trial. Let them take me today," he said, pledging to continue his organization's human rights work despite the personal threats. "If there is one person who should be behind bars," Jabarin said, "it's Mr. Gantz and his commanders, those who are responsible for committing war crimes in the occupied territory, including Gaza, East Al-Quds, and the West Bank." Jabarin was referring to Benny Gantz, the Zionist regime's war minister, who issued the terror designations against Al-Haq and other groups. Benny Gantz, the Zionist regime's war minister, is a person of interest in the International Criminal Court's investigation into war crimes in the West Bank and Gaza, which was opened last year. The United States and the Israeli regime, as well as many of Tel Aviv's European allies, some of whom fund the organizations targeted by Gantz, opposed the ICC's investigation in Palestine. Three of the targeted groups, including Al-Haq Ad-Damir and Defense for Children International Palestine, have provided evidence for the ICC investigation. During his visit to Al-Quds last month, Joe Biden pledged to shield the Zionist regime from accountability, including at the UN and International Criminal Court. Earlier this week, The Guardian reported that a classified CIA report shows the agency was unable to find any evidence to support the Zionist regime's decision to designate the Palestinian groups as terrorist organizations. The U.S. agency received intelligence from the Israeli regime regarding the designations, but like multiple European countries, did not find any evidence to support the claim, The Guardian reported, citing two sources familiar with the study. Despite not buying the Zionist regime's claims, Washington has so far refused to publicly challenge the Israeli regime over designations and other measures taken against the Palestinian groups. The U.S. State Department spokesperson Ned Price said this week that we continue to seek additional information from our Israeli partners. He added that we remain concerned about the impacts of the closure of the offices of these Palestinian NGOs in and around Ramallah, and we've made clear to our Israeli and to our Palestinian counterparts that independent civil society organizations in the West Bank must be able to continue their important work, he said. But when asked why the U.S. wouldn't forthrightly condemn the Israeli regime's actions, Price said, "The Israelis have told us that they have information in their possession that would justify taking action against the groups." Price was admitting that the United States is giving the Israeli regime indefinite time to retroactively justify the designations, potentially putting the organization's staff and wider networks at risk of arbitrary detention and torture. "I found the most troubling element of the U.S. response to what happened last week to be the statement about waiting for more evidence, Laura Friedman of the Foundation for Middle East Peace said during the Dawn webinar, adding, "Because waiting for more evidence is not a passive statement, it is an active green light and encouragement for Israel to crack down further on these groups in order to try to manufacture more circumstantial evidence." Friedman pointed to the discredited secret dossier on the groups that was given by the Zionist regime to European diplomats in May 2021 and supposedly contained information that justified the terror organizations. Friedman said that dossier consisted virtually entirely of evidence in the form of statements made by Palestinians under interrogation after they had been arrested by Israelis for similar charges. This is coercive interrogation on top of an already coercive military court system that leaves Palestinians with no due process. In another recent event, Friedman noted that the Zionist regime operates a plea bargain factory in its military courts. Joanna Rishmavi, a Spanish aid worker in her 60s, took a plea deal that saw her sentenced to 13 months in prison for her work with the health work committees, which was declared illegal by the fake regime of Israel in early 2020. The health work committees was not informed of the designation until the Zionist regime began an escalated campaign against it, arresting its director, Sata Odeh, and closing its headquarters in Ramallah, the seat of Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. Friedman told the Dawn webinar, "What Rishmavi pled guilty to effectively was unknowingly providing aid to an organization that Israel defines as a terrorist group." The Zionist regime held up Rishmavi's plea agreement made in a highly coercive context in which Rishmavi had no hope of actual justice as proof against the targeted organizations. 24 independent UN experts condemned the Zionist regime's escalating attacks on the Palestinian groups and urged the 5 permanent members of the UN Security Council, which includes the US, to protect the Palestinian organizations and staff whose offices were raided and closed. The experts also called on the EU and its member states in particular to use their leverage to stop these aggressive attacks. So far, European diplomats have only managed to muster up photo ops and toothless statements of concern, even though the European Union is implicated in the designations. Even Zionist groups such as Americans for Peace Now, J Street, and the New Israel Fund are urging Antony Blinken, the U.S. Secretary of State, to address Israel's persecution of Palestinian civil society, challenging the complicity of the U.S. regime, which subsidizes the Zionist regime's military occupation and provides Tel Aviv with missiles used to bomb residential towers in Gaza and shields the Zionist regime from accountability through its veto at the UN Security Council, remains key. It would only take one phone call from Secretary Blinken, Al-Haq's Susan Power said, adding, "Just one phone call